Does anybody want breakfast? Guys, let's go. I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why didn't you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And nothing says morning like a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get this all-time favorite for just $2 on the $1-$3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Just Another Podcast. Even though it's not just another podcast, but it's just another podcast. I got my man, my brother from another mother, the man, the myth, the legend, the living legend. And I mean this seriously. I've seen this man accomplish many feats in my life I don't know. I literally don't know. You know, most men would crumble. I've watched this man accomplish many things in his life and overcome. If this man was present when the Spartans took on all of whoever they were fighting in 300, they would have won.
I think you're giving me.
Right. He would have defeated them with a rare STD. I don't know. Whatever. This is my man, my brother from another, Mr. Owen Headley. Was it O Headley Fitness?
O Headley Fitness. Shameless plug.
Nah, not a shameless plug. This is a legit plug. Shit, got to plug that. O Headley Fitness. How we doing today, Owen? How you feeling?
I'm good, man. First and foremost, when you asked me to be on your podcast, I was like, hell, anybody care about want to hear from me for? But, you know, I appreciate what you're doing. You know, it's been a long time since you and I had a real, like, heart-to-heart, but we've had many of them. But I appreciate you using this platform to kind of get, like, people's names out there. I actually watched the and forgive me, I don't remember her name, but the young lady you interviewed last week, and it was a really good interview. And
Carla Montolio, she was dope. There,
why didn't he ask me to come on before her? Because that's like a tough act to follow. She really, really had it, like, has her ish together, and it was really cool. But I appreciate you giving, you know, people like that a platform to kind of get their names out there. It's stuff like this that actually makes a bigger impact, you know, on what people are trying to accomplish. So I appreciate you even thinking about me, asking me. I'm very humbled by it, to tell you the truth.
No, definitely. Definitely. I just felt like, you know, the show, I think you hit it right on the button. You know, it was just, I've had this network. First, it was realizing that I had a network. And then examining all the talented people and all the people within that network and just saying, okay, you know what? You know, these are people that, you know, that should have their stories told, or, you know, but from their own perspectives. And, you know, it's just giving you guys all roses. I mean, all of you guys,
I learned very quickly, especially with my 5-year-old, that, like, social media is the way to go. Every time I go on YouTube and watches some little girl unwrap a gift, that little girl makes $2.
Seriously, though. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's definitely the way to go. And, like, when I started my platform, I'll be honest, like, I didn't even think, I thought it was going to be like just old friends, neighborhood, and like college friends and stuff. I didn't know that it would become like global. Like, I would connect with people. Like, I had the Facebook and stuff like that, but gotta do Instagram. And then I didn't realize that it would just push the way it did. So, but that's not a me thing. That's just the fact that, you know, again, like I said, people like you putting, you know, names and stuff, and actually, you know, not even names, the faces, like giving like personalities, like getting to know the people who are actually putting that stuff up. It's very easy for me to put a picture of me like working out on a video, you know, for 50 seconds, but like to get to why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
What do it? It's people like you that, you know, I appreciate. So yeah, I'm glad to be here, dude. Like it's fun. One, it's cool. Like I said, you know, this podcast thing, when you launched it, I was very excited. I remember from your basketball podcast, but just two, like you just family, and like very good to see you doing your thing as well. So don't think for a second that the people that you interviewing, whether it be me or whoever it is in the future, like your influencer too. Like, I mean, this is how people get started. Like, you know, the more you, you know, put us out there, the more you're putting yourself out there. And, you know, I'm always on board with promoting anything you do. You've always been.
Oh, appreciate it.
So let's get to it.
So one, I'm not surprised at your following. I'm not surprised at one bit. When I looked at it, I was like, Jesus Christ. But I'm not surprised at all. If you had like an M next to your number, I wouldn't have been surprised, because you know what I'm saying? Like you've always been relatable. You've always been, you know, you were the guy that everyone, you know, you were the Van Wilder. Like you were like the legitimate Van Wilder.
Pretty much Van Wilder. I think probably because I was the only one who was old enough to buy liquor.
Well, that was part of it, definitely. You know, I think Van Wilder, I think they like plagiarized part of your life. Someone did, because you definitely did help cure, you did help someone get cured of an STD at one point. But we're not gonna go there. Not tonight. We're not gonna go there. We're not, you know. Although there,
everybody out there, that wasn't me.
No, it wasn't him.
I know myself.
But there was, you know, if anything, if you at the end, if you want to share the Vermont story. I definitely love the way you get you share that.
the story is
legendary. Italy. It has to be confirmed. It's always to be confirmed.
The best part of that story is I tell to someone, my wife, and I was, oh, you don't believe me. And I told you story verbatim.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, they'd be like, yeah, that really happened. Yeah. The same thing, vice versa, because people be like, that didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Maybe we'll get into that a little bit later, but yeah. That's a story for there's no one on the planet that has a story like that. Seriously. I don't know who you are.
Oh my God. So getting down to it, my first question to you is, I've known you since 1997,
right? Yeah.
So I've known, since 1997. You were actually at my college tour. You did the college tour. You know what I'm saying?
Did.
Yeah, you know, we were doing the tour and stuff like that. So I've known you going on almost 30 years, man. Well, close to 20.
About 20. A little bit under 20.
Man, we've known each other for a minute. I've always wanted to ask you, well, this is my first question, right? What was it like growing up, Owen Headley? You know what I'm saying? What was that like? Because you must have been like an interesting kid, man.
You want to know what's funny? I actually had, like, there was absolutely nothing interesting about me whatsoever. I remember I think it was like my sixth grade like class photo. Paisley shirt that was like buttoned up to me. And when I got the pictures, my sister was like, yo, you look like Dudley from Different Strokes.
This is a hater. This is a hater.
But nah, to tell you the truth, man, my childhood was very ordinary. Like my father passed away when I was 9 years old, and before that, my mother and father were divorced when I was 5. And I like,
oh,
I,
wow.
Yeah, when you talk about like being children of divorce, my sister and mm-hmm. I were that, especially in the 80s. In the 80s, everybody was getting divorced. I don't know what was going on, but nobody stayed married. I think it's wild that nobody just wanted to be married. But
right.
They remember like the custody battles and all that stuff. But it was weird because my father and my mother like were the best of friends. Like when my father passed away, the last day of his life, he actually was coming to see me and my sister. And he wasn't feeling well. And like my mom and him were rapping and they were like, you know, she's like, this is back in the day before they had like, you know, inhaled. My father was an asthmatic and this was
what
words and like Advair and like
right, all that. Right.
It was when you went to Genovese and bought like
right.
out of that home. So my mother was like, you know, you have inhaled. He goes, I'm good. I'll take it when I get home. And the conductor the next morning on the train from my house actually found him the next morning. So back and forth. So my childhood was my mom was a single parent, you know, but my father up to the day he died. But my mom was a single parent. If you want to know the truth, man, I was a follower, man, when I was young. I really felt like it was cool to fit in rather than lead. And I just really was kind of a fall. I was very like, dude, I was like 90 pounds soaking wet. And I hung out with a lot of different people. And I was more like, yo, Owen. Well, they used to call me OJ then. Owen, my nickname was OJ. You know, you want to go, you know, let's go throw bricks through a window. And I'm just like, okay. Like I didn't, you know, it's funny because I can say that now, but I really didn't think for myself. It was most, you know, I was mostly just running with what people were doing. And it did two things to me. One, it got me in a lot of trouble, but it also, you know, it also taught me to be very, very street smart and to learn, like, you know, especially growing up in New York. I mean, you know, you're from New York as well.
Right.
And it taught me a lot of street smarts and just knowing the things that I knew just by seeing what other cats were doing. You know, it pretty much showed me, yeah, I'm not trying to do that because that cat did that.
Right, but
like you know, 30 or 40 cops on outside his apartment. You know? Mama's stuff and she ain't trying to have that. She'll throw me to the lions.
Okay.
But growing up, me was, you know, I wasn't very good at basketball. You know that.
you were good putting teams together, though. You were good.
I could definitely be a GM, but as far as a player coach, that's just not. But it was growing up in New York in the 80s was weird, man, because it was like, I mean, everything was, I was young in the 80s, but like growing up in the 90s and like the late 80s and the 90s, it was just, we just liked being in the streets and it was just a different atmosphere. But to answer your question, like my childhood, and I will tell you this, for a long time though, I resented my mom because my mother was mad. Like it was funny. I have a funny story actually. It was summertime and you know, in the summertime, like it gets dark at like 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
Mom always had this rule where like you could be in Egypt and then 5 o'clock. And if you weren't home at 6 o'clock, no matter where you were, like you just missed dinner. And then from 6 o'clock on, like to 8 o'clock, like it was bedtime. And I'll never forget this. It was like outside and me and my sister were in bed listening to our friends singing Billy Joel's For the Longest Time right outside our window. And it's like light time. And I'm like, wow, I'm like, we should be outside right now. It's like the sun is still shining at 8 o'clock. But yo, dude, my mother was very strict and very, very like, she was very educated, education oriented. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, you know, until I actually, you know, got to college and actually got older and, you know, became the man that I am now. Mm-hmm. And you always hear that like, oh, I resent my parents. But now that I look back on it, it's true because I look back on how my mother was. I mean, I remember people saying, yo, dude, yo, Miss Headley is like, you know, it was, you know, there was a lot of lying. And when house, because it was like, if I wanted to go out to a nightclub, you know, and you know, being in New York, you go to a club at like 15. Yeah. I'd be staying at so-and-so's house and so-and-so be staying at my house or whatever. See, that just didn't work with Miss Heatherly. And it was just like, I was very resentful because I felt like she was holding me back from doing a lot of things. But looking back at it now, being a father of two girls and a married man for 6 years, a homeowner, a guy who, you know, not only works, but owns his own business, I'm like, wow, she kind of really put me and shaped me to the person I was. But she was a very, and it's funny because she would be like, "I'll let you get away with murder." I'm like, "Who's murder?" And funny, like, but she was a very strict parent. And I think, especially being a single parent and being a single Black parent, the stigma back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s is like, oh, Black people are just not educated. They're going to fall into either selling drugs or doing drugs or doing both. Right. And I think really kind of tried, maybe a little too hard, but she tried to shelter me from that. And I appreciate it now, but, you know, I'm looking at it like, wow, like, you know, every time I hear Billy Joel's "For the Longest Time," I
have, you have a flashback.
If I had Billy Joel "For the Longest Time," it could be like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I got to go to bed. It was just like, it was a very difficult, not difficult in the sense that I had a bad childhood, because my mother worked 2-3 jobs to get me, my sister, whatever we wanted. But I just felt it was very sheltered. But now, knowing now what I didn't know then, I can understand. Because, I mean, crack hit the scene like,
I
mean, crack wasn't just like in the Bronx. It was
everywhere.
In the Bronx, it was Queens. It was on the Mets. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's, is that a Doc Gooden shot?
I really appreciate it now, but I really look back now that I have a tough childhood. No, but I had a very strict one. So. Yeah, but I mean, you know my mother now. My mother's like as soft as pie, but there was no pie back then. It was like,
No, I think it's, you know, I that's one of the things I always loved about your mom, because, you know, your mom loved you. She loves you. Like, you walk into the room and it's evident, you know, she sees you and it's like the first time, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I used to be like, man, like, that's dope. Like, and I would also, you know, like, during those times, you know, there was two sides to that, right? You could either be over sheltered or you were just out there. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, there's a lot of people out there. You know, this show isn't about me per se. You know what I'm saying? But I could give you some stories that'll flip that, and you would appreciate that shelter a lot more. You know what I'm saying? I mean, obviously when you're a kid and you hear the kids outside playing and it's, you know, not, it's 7 o'clock at night, but the sun is still out, you know, I get that part. But, you know, your mom loved, she loves you to death. And that's an awesome thing about your mom. I never knew that, because As I said in my last interview with my homegirl Cindy Lee Alves, you should check that one out too. That one was pretty good. But you know, there's questions that I've always been curious about. But you know, where do you find time to ask these questions? You know what I'm saying? So what was that relationship like with your dad up until, you know, obviously him passing away?
From what I remember, to tell you the truth, like being so young when they were divorced, like you talk about, and through no fault of his, but you know, when you're a child of custody, it's like, you know, you see your dad like weekend, every other weekend. But from what I remember from him, he was a big Clint Eastwood fan. I remember watching those movies with him, and he was a tech genius. He was actually one of the first like IT people, I think, for like IBM.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he was very smart with that kind of stuff, was very book smart. And a lot of the stories that I hear about him are from my grandmother, rest in peace, and from my mom. But my relationship with him up until the point where he passed away, I mean, again, I was nine. It was fun. I mean, it was, I can't give those like sob stories. And that's no disrespect to anybody that does that. Like my father wasn't in the picture because I mean, dude, my father died leaving to see me and my sister.
Right.
I don't, I had a good, I do think on his end, though, there might've been a little resentment because I think any parent that's trying to fight for custody of the kid and the kid picks the other person to live with, there's going to be resentment. But he did have two other children, like with another woman, may she rest in peace, and I have two other half brothers. And it, I think the relationship that I had with my, and now when he passed away, one of them was like an infant, like a baby.
Oh,
and
wow.
One is a few years younger than me. So he was, I mean, if I'm nine, he was probably five. So wow. That kind of shaped who they were and growing up. And I don't know how many people out there are from other areas other than New York, but if you're from New York, then you know Rockaway was very tough in the 80s. So growing up.
Oh yeah.
In the 80s, like, you know, that kind of, my sister and I went one way and they went the other way. And it's unfortunate because, you know, the tools that my father did give us to, you know, as young as we were to succeed, they just didn't take those tools. And it's funny because my youngest brother, he actually just went wild because as he was growing up without a father, and again, through no fault of his, my dad passed when he was young.
Right, exactly.
The streets or whatever. So his mother, she got fed up with him just going out there doing what people shouldn't be doing.
Right.
He came home one day and she was like in the process of putting him out the house. Like, listen, I can't have this pass my door. They start arguing. And during the argument, she had a heart attack and she passed away right in front of him.
Oh, man.
Kind of that guilt that he had, you know, there was a lot of guilt and a lot of resentment. And it's unfortunate because my relationship with my sister is really good. And my sister and I are really tight. We text every day, we talk. But my relationship with my brothers is just not, it's pretty much non-existent as far as, you know, a little bit of hellos and goodbyes. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, my father had four children. And I think that the tools that he, and it might sound weird, but I feel like there's more resentment there because of the fact that my sister and I did spend more time with him and they, even though we couldn't control that, but my relationship with him was, I wish I could give you, you know, stories and stuff like that. But like, I live on memories with that. There's not really any specific story other than the fact that I know he liked Clint Eastwood because I remember watching Dirty Harry one night on like channel when I was big. But it was
WPIX.
it was mostly like, you know, taking us out for ice cream at McDonald's when he used to pick us up and stuff. But
yeah.
my mother has never said anything ill about him. They were the closest of friends. Sometimes, you know, you make better friends than you do spouses. That's just the way of the world.
Yeah.
And
very true.
You know, they were my grandmother, obviously that was a son. He was a good man. And the memories that I do have, the biggest one being the Clint Eastwood one, and then a couple of other ones.
For all you foodies out there, I'm unwrapping a McDonald's steak, egg, and cheese bagel. Ooh, look at this steak. And the juice running down the side. Got a little bit on the wrapper here. And then the fluffy egg and real cheese folded over the side, looking just so good. Grilled onions and a butter bagel, too. Thumbs up for McDonald's steak, egg, and cheese bagel for breakfast. Love it. Ba-ba-ba-ba. I participate in McDonald's.
Where, you know, I remember being at like weddings or whatever and stuff like that as a kid, you know, that they're just very sporadic. But you know what's weird though, dude?
What's up?
And you're probably going to think I'm crazy. Sometimes when you're deep in thought, especially when I'm deep in thought about him, I like make my own memories up. Like, you know what? What if me and my dad were fishing, or what if me and my dad went to a baseball game? Like, sometimes I make my, you know, not that I would tell a story, say, yo, me and my dad were fishing one day, because that didn't happen. I make my own memories up. And, you know, just from what I hear from my sister, who's a little bit older, she's 3 years older than me. So, you know, I was 9 and she was 12, you know, he was a good man.
Yeah.
But so it was a pretty good as good as you could be from 5 years old to 9 years old. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, he got you here, right? Aren't you like Italian? Like, isn't he like Italian or something like that? Or
yeah, my biological, the man that I call my grandfather is not really my grandfather.
Oh,
my grandmother's second husband.
Oh wow.
I, my father's father, what I like to call him, is he's Italian.
Wow.
Italian, so I have Italian blood. My father's half Italian.
Wow.
But he was I've probably met him, if I could say twice, I'd probably be exaggerating. He was just not a non-factor.
Okay.
Last conversation I had with him was probably, it was funny because it was like drawing straws. Like my sister and I, who's it called, the cat, tell him that. Anna passed away, so I got the duty of doing that. I don't know who had his number, but somehow I got the phone number and I called him. He's like, hello? I'm like, yeah. He's like, who's this? I'm like, it's Owen. He's like, oh, hey. And I'm like, hey. I'm like, yo, listen, Nana's dead, you know. You know, I was very close to my grandmother, but like I didn't think he deserved like that whole like, hey, Nana passed away.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay. And he was like, you know, where's the funeral? You know, I'll send some flowers. And I was like, you don't bother. I hung up. And that was the last conversation I had with him.
Oh, but, okay.
Zero.
Yeah. Really.
I don't even know right now that dude. I'm assuming he's not.
Right.
Dude's alive. But my grandmother's second is considered my grandfather. I'm talking about like took me fishing.
Yeah.
He was kind of that male figure in my life. Him and then an older cousin that I had was like the male figure in my life. My dad passed, so my biological grandfather, like I like to say, my father's father is or could be was Italian. I have no. He could be 1,000 years old. So, okay. Yeah, it's funny that you asked that question because I didn't even know you remembered that. Like,
oh yeah, we had a conversation once. There's a lot of things that I don't know why I remember them, but I just remember them. It was like remembering you. Like, who the hell remembers the guy who gave the tour, let alone his name? And when I saw you, I was like, oh, what's up? Oh, so you was checking into your room. And I was just like, oh, what's up, Owen? He was like, oh, what's up? And I was like, all right. You know what I'm saying? And that was crazy. But yeah, we had a conversation about that.
Oh, that goes twofold, though, because I remember off the bus, Jose coming back from New York.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, it's Hacky. I remember you. Like, you know, I think from the day I got off that bus.
Yeah.
And every day after that, like, we just kicked it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Story. Remember my roommate? And I tell the story to
about Artie?
I mean, Art.
Oh, yeah, Artie, yeah.
I remember getting, obviously, people out there don't know Art was a beast, like, football player, big, oh, crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember getting into an argument with him. He's like, "Well, outside," and I was like, "Let's go." And I remember walking to the elevator and being in the elevator, and you like, "Yo, oh, you not really gonna do this, are you?"
No. So no. So I heard the argument because I was on the third floor. You're on the fourth floor. You're coming downstairs. I'm getting on the elevator. And you're tight. And I say, yo, oh, what's up? He's like, nah, I'm about to go downstairs. I'm gonna fight Art. I looked at you and I said, all right, come on, let's go. Let's go. I'm gonna go with you. Right. Cause in my mind, I'm like, listen, I'm not gonna let Art kill you, but he's probably gonna beat the shit out of both of us. But fuck it, like, at least I'll take some blows. But I'm like, you know what? I can't let you go by yourself.
I'm going to tell you, I don't remember from the point of like when it stopped, where did Art spare me or if something happened, I don't want to do that. I don't remember what happened, but I do know that if that would have progressed the way that it was going to progress, I would probably be talking to you like Denzel's character, the bone collector.
Yeah. So I remember, so we get downstairs, right? And you squared up. Like you went downstairs, you'd had enough. You had enough. I could see your face, but in your face, you also had that face like, okay, I just want to get one hit. And then whatever happens, happens.
I don't even care if I hit somebody else other than him. I just, but it was weird. I give him that respect though, because he definitely did square it up, guys, everything after that.
Yeah. Cause he was in the wrong. He was in the wrong. Because he was out of his mind too. Like when y'all got into the argument, like he was like super drunk. And security had went outside, and then, you know, like we were just all down there, and you know, we're all trying to talk to Artie, like, yo, Art, yo, you gotta chill. Like you got, you know, like come on, like
don't kill him.
And you there, like you just ready. Like you was just ready. You went downstairs, I was just like, yo. And then Art just blew everybody off and then disappeared. He like ran into the darkness.
Just to let you know, the 10 minutes that it took me from the time he was like, let's go outside for me to actually go to the elevator, I wrote a letter to my mother and I left it under the give this to my mother. I'll survive in that fight.
Yo, but, that was hilarious.
That's one of like many memories, dude.
Yeah. I tell you, it was funny. Like, you know, you fast forward to obviously like college, right? And I just remember like, so I was young, because obviously it's a little known fact that I got skipped in grade school, right? So in second grade, I'm fresh out of kindergarten, right? And so, yeah, so every grade I've ever been in, I've always been the youngest. And college was no different. And I went straight from high school. I graduated and then went straight to college. And I actually, what's even more crazy, my family to this day is like, they just shake their head at me about it. I turned down a scholarship to NYU. And I went to, exactly. But my thing was, I just wanted to get out of New York. Like I was just tired of New York at that point. Damn, I mean, it was just a lot going on. And so it was just, so I get up there and I just remember, okay, I'm like hanging with the kids like me, right?
Yeah.
And the first 2 weeks, I'm not having fun. Like, I'm just like, it's more or less like, I came to college to kind of live and be away from a certain element. And all there is just talking about this same element. And then I hung out with you one night and I never stopped hanging out with you. Like, it was just like, this is the kid I got to hang out with, because like with you, we went to Providence, we went to Keene, like we went all over the place. Like we were all over the Eastern Seaboard at one point. Like it was crazy. And I just, like, I remember like looking up to like you, Vance, even Jose a little bit, like, but even Jose, I looked up to y'all, like, and a lot of that shit got me in trouble because I emulated what you guys were doing, but got caught doing it. You know what I'm saying? And so I would just look back at that and I was just like, man, like I say, honestly, and I know you looked up to certain guys, right? I know you looked up to like the Alexes and the Nates.
And you know what? It's funny you say that. I really didn't. And I don't mean any disrespect to Nate and Alex, because
I thought you did. Honestly,
I came before them. Mm-hmm. I was like Harvey. Mm. You know what I mean? But like that.
Yeah.
And
Harvey's again, a good dude. Shout out to Harvey. He was a great dude.
Yeah, nothing against Nate and Alex, but they came. Mm-hmm. So I looked up more to like the Harveys of the world. And mm-hmm. I won't say I looked up to Vance, but me and we always clipped, even when I was up there in business.
Yeah.
a long time, but if I had to pick a person that I really like looked up to in that school, it would probably be. I mean, we're still friends to this day. He's 20 years NYPD now. He's on the verge of retiring. But yeah, I would say that just like you, you know, going there, I went there to visit at first. Like one of my boys, Mike, was playing ball there for a week and come for, you know, I was going to St. John's.
Right.
So I'm in the same boat as you where I went to a different school. Really, the thing I liked about the school was like, you know, forget about like all the partying and like all the students. I mean, all the students or whatever.
Yeah.
I liked being known by my first name, by my teachers versus like a social security number at St. John's.
Right.
It was just it was personable. And the only thing about the school that I feel was a detriment, looking at the way the world is today, I feel like, and even growing up in Astoria, which is a very multi area, I feel like, you know, with what's going on in the world today, I almost feel like I was in kind of a bubble where I see the things that a lot of people saw.
Yeah.
You know, you think about, okay, well, New York is multicultural. Like, you know, you could chill with, you know, a Spanish cat one day, and the next day you're chilling with three white people, and it's like nothing to you.
Right.
Same person has the same skin color as you down in Alabama. You know, he can't really function out there because of the color of his skin. Felt like I lived in a bubble. And I would say if there was anything that was a detriment about living in a multicultural area and then going to a school where, like, literally it didn't matter what color, who you were.
Yeah.
We were all family. I don't think it prepared me for the things that I've seen in like the past year and a half, you know what I mean? So it was a great experience, and I'll never take back the experience that I had going to school there. But I'm a New Yorker at heart. I really feel like living in areas where that type of stuff, I don't want to say it was irrelevant, but that type of stuff that wasn't really in the forefront didn't prepare me for like the things that I've experienced in like the past like year and a half.
Oh, definitely. I remember, you know, we'd go to school up there, and you're right, it was a bubble, because I remember 98, right? The spring of 98, right? And the Yankees started out like 0-2. Yeah. We get back to New York, they're like 26-2. It was crazy. I remember you complaining. You're like, oh God, they're going through this bullshit again. And then I get back to New York, they're the best team in the world. And I also always remember there was an adjustment period of where, and I always say this, you know, I encountered the most racism in New York. You know, I've been to other places, but the mental aspect of racism, I've encountered it more so in New York, where you don't have to be called, you know, the N-bomb to, you know, it's more mental. It's a look like, oh, you don't really belong here. Like, what are you doing here? You know what I'm saying? Or that quiet, tense moment, you know, and we didn't get that in New Hampshire. It was literally like you said, like we just go anywhere, and it was just like, as long as you're paying for what you're buying, you do whatever you want. Like we're all chilling. And there was always an adjustment period where, and whether it was like a cop that reminded me or a club or just a ride on the train, it would just remind me, oh snap, I'm not in New Hampshire.
I would even go as far as saying that when we went to school in New Hampshire, because so many people from like New Hampshire and Maine and Vermont and areas didn't really, you know, they never really hung out or spent time with people of different color. I would almost say to some areas, especially, you know, being a minority and being a minority from New York, I almost felt like in some ways we were put on pedestals out there. Where people like, wow, like I've had a swag before and it was different and very exciting. And then when you go back to New York, you know, you're just, you know, one pea in a big ass pod.
Right.
So you know, I never take back my time in that school, and I've made some, especially you, I think you being like number one, but I've made friends that I still speak to this day, right. You know, that are like very close friends. So the time that I spent was very beneficial, but again, really didn't prepare me for, you know, once I got out of that, and the hardest thing about it though, dude, was like, you know, I spent 4 years there. I got my bachelor's degree there, and you don't think about, wait a minute, you know, after you walk down the aisle after year four, like, you got to live life. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know, I didn't, you know, really get myself prepared yeah. for life after that school. And it really kind of contained me. Mm-hmm. So I went back to New York. You know, my mom was staying at my aunt's house, and, you know, I was staying there for, I can't do this. Like, I'm sleeping on the floor of my cousin's room. Like, I'm just, it's not who I am. I don't want to do that. Right. So I went to New England because in some ways I felt more comfortable being out there.
Yeah.
And for like a year and a half until I found like my one room shack, like, I lived.
Yeah.
It was, you know, do you want to eat or do you want to pay rent? So I'm 1991 Chevy Cavalier that I bought in it. And there's a woman who worked at the YMCA on Abbott Street in Beverly, Massachusetts, who wow. I'm still friends with her and her family today. Let me have a free membership and, you know, let me use the showers. And all wow. I had to do was toilets.
Right.
You know, my way up, and I got a one room, wow. a one shack that I share with like 40 dudes. You know, the
yeah,
room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Week yeah. that I elevated myself up, you know, to getting wow. my room, and then Don moved in, and that's a whole nother
book. I remember that. I went to visit you.
Yeah, in itself. So it was a slow and steady climb, but again,
yeah,
I look, wow, like, I really, you know, so if anyone's out there that listens in your audience that's like, you know, a young person trying to prepare themselves for like life, like, go to school and have fun. Mm-hmm. You got a game plan. Like, see, you had a game plan. And that's why I admired you a lot, because, you know, you're younger than I am. But like, when you left that school, you had a game plan. You went to Manhattanville, and then you mm-hmm. did a lot of other things. And I'm sitting there mm-hmm. like, I'm soaking up this 4 years so well, but I don't, you know, what am I doing after that?
Yeah.
And I was very lucky to have people, you know, who who supported me, you know, not financially, but like emotionally, and like, just were there for me to kind of like give me breaks and,
yeah.
you know, where I'm at today. But, you know, if you go to school, it is really true. Like, mm-hmm. you know, a goal without a plan is a wish.
Definitely.
Today, I look at it like, you know, and it's funny because I'm like, yeah, I never really seen any of that shit out here. I never really seen any of that out here. And the world is different from when you and I went to school now. And it's very, it's definitely changed me in the past, like, couple years, man. Like, definitely.
Definitely. Yeah. Wow. So you kind of segued on to yourself, because I was going to ask you about that, but you kind of explained it, and that is crazy. Like, wow.
To your point, it's mostly like a pride. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, when you're in that situation where, you know, you're living out your car, and, you know, I think for me, you know, being a person who has a 4-year bachelor degree living out of his car, I think it was more of a pride and in some cases embarrassment. Like, if I go back home to New York, I'll admit failure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I can go back in time, I'll be honest, like, I don't think I would change those circumstances, because I feel like going back to New York, where, you know, when you're in New England, and this is the funny part about New England, and, you know, it's weird. I've actually lived now in New England longer than I have in New York, which is weird.
Yeah, definitely.
Stuff in New Yorker, but, you know, in New England, the job opportunity here, like, and these are statistical facts, like, for every one job, you only have like 3 to 4 people applying for it.
Right.
In New York, for every one job, you Definitely. Have like 400 people applying for it.
Definitely.
So it's like, okay, either be homeless here and get a job, or be homeless in New York forever. You know what I mean? And then, you know, yeah. I stuck. And I made the right choices. And, you know, I went from being a security guard working from 7 to 3, sitting in front of a door, working overtime 7 to 11 just to make some money. And you know, I just, you know, it humbles you a little bit because I remember growing up in New York, walking past dudes that are like, hey, you got some change. Like, man, get a job, man, get a job. Yeah. And then when you're that person, like, struggling like that.
Yeah.
And like, you know, maybe, you know, not to quote Nas, but, you know, maybe that dollar would have struck the lotto for that person. You know what I mean?
That's a fact.
It really kind of humbles you to a point where like, and that's where I'm at in my life now. I feel like my life circumstances, like what I went through, you know, financially, what I went through physically, what I went through emotionally, that's why I kind of like, you know, dedicated my life to like kind of helping other people the best way that I could. You know, I don't want no medal for it. I don't want a pat on the back. I just feel like I wouldn't be here having this conversation with you if there weren't people in my life who, you know, were generous enough to not even to just give me financial support, but like just emotional and just like, you know, a kick in the butt, like, yo, dude, like, you're doing this the wrong way. You got to do this. Yep. And, you know, that's why when I started, like, the Instagram page and, you know, certain other things that I've done, you know, in past years, I just look at it like, you know, what if I was in that situation? Mm-hmm. You know, I was, especially now, you know, like, what if that person would have just stepped over me, but do go get a job and get a job?
Like, right.
It definitely humbles you. But with that being said, though, you know, and you've been through a lot of obstacles yourself, that New York grit.
Oh, yeah.
That grit is unlike anything. Like, if you're from New York, you have, like, this grit to you where people from out here, like, I can have a conversation with a cat in a grocery store for, like, 5 minutes, and the cat will know I'm from New York. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, there's that aura about it. Mm-hmm. But I will never live there again.
I don't blame you. Listen.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for a table at a restaurant.
Thompson, party of four. Thompson, party of four. Thompson, party... Oh, there you are.
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Does anybody want breakfast? Guys? Let's go. I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why didn't you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And nothing says morning like a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get this all-time favorite for just $2 on the $1-$3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.